Hey everybody, welcome to Figures and Flippy Shit Wrestling Podcast. I am Susan and I'm here with my husband Chris, and we are here today to talk about NXT and AEW Dynamite. So first we will talk about NXT, and this is the episode from November 15th, 2022. So let's just jump right into this episode. So first,
the episode pretty much jumped right in.
It really did. So The first thing that we saw was a match between Von Wagner with Mr. Stone versus Bron Breakker for the NXT Championship.
Let's preface this by saying this is only the second episode of the NXT rebrand that we've watched. We just recently got back into NXT. Yes. But man, Bron Breakker showed me something.
He is a really good spear.
He does. He does. It's a shame that he probably won't get to use it because everybody in the world already has a spear. But man, somebody should let him use it at some point. Yeah. And that dude is quick as hell.
He is.
For his size, he's so quick. Like, I saw people saying that they thought Braun could be the next big thing. And I was like, oh, I don't know. But now that I've seen him wrestle there, and we watched his match at Halloween Havoc.
Yes.
He is something special. I'll be interested to see what he does.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I know he was around. I do know that he was the champion before.
Yeah,
and then Dolph Ziggler had it, and then he got it back again.
And
so
he's been champ ever since.
I know that he's been around for a while, so he's new to us, though.
Yeah.
But of course...
I was impressed. I liked Bron Breakker.
Yes, and of course, Bron Breakker retained, so... And then the next thing that we had Alba Fire... she did her promo against Mandy Rose, which I like Alba.
Yeah.
I think that Mandy Rose has improved from whenever we were watching her last on main roster.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the one thing that I really liked about this promo, I mean, it was a good promo, but I liked one of the things that she said was, "Your toxic empire will come crashing down," which... I don't know why I liked that so much, but I did. I like, what is it called? Isn't Mandy Rose her thing, Toxic Attraction,
right?
Yeah,
it's their stable.
So, I mean, I like that stable. I like, I'm terrible. I don't remember the names that well yet.
Oh, I'm sure we'll figure it out.
The one that isn't JC, the other one. I can't remember what her name is, but I know I like her, though. I don't even remember her name, and I like her, but... but overall, I mean, that was a pretty good promo. Did you have any thoughts on the promo?
Not really. It just kind of built to the match for later.
It did, yeah. And then, well, then we had a backstage interaction between JD McDonagh and Bron Breakker, which I really like JD McDonagh.
We've liked JD McDonagh since he was Jordan Devlin.
I know. Yes.
On NXT UK.
He just reminds me, he just looks like he'd be Finn Balor's brother. And I know he's not. I know they have that history, though. But, like... I don't know. I think that kind of makes me like him too, because he reminds me of Finn Balor in a way.
I think McDonagh does a really good job of like commanding presence too.
He does, yeah. For being such like, well, I say he's a short man, but I don't even know how tall he actually is.
I mean, compared to other people on the roster, he's a little bit smaller, but he still commands a presence.
He does, yeah. But yes, they just had like a little interaction backstage. And then we had Zoe Stark come out to the ring to explain why she turned on Nikita Lyons, which we did actually see the turn. We didn't know really any backstory with that turn, but we did see that go down. But Zoe was just talking about how she said that she carried Nikita, said she was undeniable the hunter, and everyone else was just the same. This promo...
I kind of felt like it was all over the place.
I feel like she had a lot of fire behind it. Like, I believed her convictions, but, like, it was a little long for me. But it's hard to keep my attention. I get distracted really easily.
Attention span.
Yes. But I'm intrigued to see where the storyline goes. I might have liked it more if I knew more about her. And I knew more of, like, their backstory. So, again, that could have... I might have just had not of a positive reaction to it because...
Well, we're still
learning
the NXT people.
We are, yes. So then the next thing that we saw, though, was Andre Chase and Duke Hudson talking, and Andre was asking why Duke threw in the towel, and Duke said that Andre was in pain, and if he goes down, then all of Chase U would go down, basically. And I'm not gonna lie, I don't know much about them. I think I could really grow to like the Chase U people, or mm-hmm. Their whole gimmick will be really annoying. Mm-hmm. But I'm willing to give it a chance, I suppose. But yeah, do you have any thoughts on that one either?
See where it goes.
Yeah, I agree. So then we also, after that, we had Apollo Crews. He told Bron Breakker that he just came to NXT for his title.
I feel like we're going to close in on another multi-man match in NXT.
Who had the multi-man
match? They had one at Halloween Havoc, because it was Breakker, Dragunov, and McDonough.
Oh, yes.
Which, okay. That match slapped. I'll say that right now. That match was fun as hell.
I don't know what it says about me. I don't remember it, but
I remember.
Did I like it when it was on?
You went to bed beforehand. You got tired.
Oh my gosh.
You missed a hell of a main event.
I did.
That was a fun as hell match.
Okay.
And Dragunov worked his freaking ass off. Like, Dragunov was literally in damn near every spot. Like, he was amazing in that match.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I know Apollo Crews is a good wrestler. So. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah.
So next we had, I mean, I need you to help me with how to pronounce it. Indus Sher,
yeah.
We didn't catch the team. It was just kind of like a jobber team out there.
No, and they kind of like, I understand the aspect of it. I'm not the biggest fan of when commentary kind of buries the jobbers and doesn't mention them by name. Yes. You know, like, those guys do that so they can get name recognition,
right?
And I feel like it does a disservice to them to at least not mention their names. AEW is better about it than WWE is, but I think that's because they have Excalibur, and Excalibur knows everything under the sun about anything related to wrestling. I feel like Excalibur could write a wrestling encyclopedia. Well,
but I know, I don't think it was NXT, but it was Raw or SmackDown. Mm-hmm. Which one is Corey Graves on?
He's on Raw.
Okay. I remember I'm pretty sure it was him. They had jobbers come out. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure it's Corey Graves is just kind of like, oh, it doesn't matter who they are, basically.
Yeah. And AEW does do that between Excalibur and Taz, especially when you watch Dark. But at least Excalibur's giving me something.
Yeah. I just thought it was kind of disrespectful. Which, yeah. Corey Graves gets under my skin, his commentary anyway. I think he's mm-hmm. I just don't like his commentary.
Mm-hmm. It's just a personal preference.
Yes,
for you.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and then Bandit sure won the match, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But then we had the Creed brothers who they were talking about Indusher and how they can't let whatever happened between them go. We don't really know what it was that happened,
mm-hmm.
but whatever it is, it must have been big.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, I guess we're going to figure out by watching next week what's going on.
The nice thing is with us playing catch-up, WWE does such a good job with their video packages. Yes. I'm pretty confident we'll be caught up pretty well.
Yeah, I agree.
That's one of the things they've always done really well, is video packages.
Yes.
That's their bread and butter.
It is, yes. So then Wendy Chu was talking about Cora Jade, and Cora Jade said that Wendy Chu is crazy, and Wendy agreed, and I just thought that was funny. I really like Wendy Chu.
Yeah, Wendy Chu has to be crazy to wrestle in a onesie.
Like, they're comfortable.
Yes, but my God, she's got to be boiling. Like,
I mean, I'm not going to lie, right now, I'm literally in a onesie, and I'm, like, sweating. So mm-hmm.
Imagine working a match.
Kudos to her.
Yeah.
I also really like Cora Jade, also. I like the punk. She kind of reminds me... If you combined, like, AJ Lee and Paige.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. I just feel like if you combined them, that'd be, like, a good... But I don't know.
I kind of got, like, an AJ Lee Sky Blue vibe. But maybe it's the hat. Because Sky Blue wears a hat, too. It might just be the hat.
Sky Blue's so cute. but, yeah. So, they had a little backstage. Were they back? No, they were in the ring, weren't they?
Wendy Chu wasn't in the ring.
They were backstage.
They were backstage,
Oh, man. But yes.
Mm-hmm.
Then we had J.D. McDonagh versus Apollo Crews.
Man, I did not think Apollo Crews was going to win this.
No, I did not either. No. I mean, it was a really good match. Like, the fans were chanting, like, this is awesome. And I mean, I agree with that. I think it was a really good match.
I think Apollo Crews spent so much time serving as the jobber on the main roster, people forget how good Apollo Crews is.
I agree.
I mean, he came through Black and Gold NXT. That was, like, peak work stuff. And, you know, he did the Lucha Underground stuff as U-Haul Nation. Like,
yeah.
So, I mean, he's built to do this.
He is. I mean, he's good. He's good at his job.
Yeah. His personality might be a little lacking.
Yeah.
But his skill is really good. Yeah. He's a very skilled wrestler.
I think that's why he's not, like, higher on my favorite list. Because I like big personalities, like flashiness, showiness.
Now, when I say big personality, I don't mean do what WWE did to him a couple years ago and make him like a Nigerian prince and give him a fake-ass Black Panther accent. I'm not talking about doing that.
No, no.
But, like, you give him something. Like...
Yeah. Agreed.
Mm-hmm.
So after that, though, we had the Mandy Rose interview, which I just don't know how to feel about Mandy Rose.
In what sense?
I guess I don't know. Like, I'm so torn. Like, I think she's improved with her wrestling skills. I just never pictured her as this dominant champion, which I will admit after, like, from seeing her NXT recently, like, okay, she does seem like a dominant champ. I just never would have pictured her as a dominant champ. And I'm just, I don't know.
And when I think of dominant champ, like, yeah, Mandy Rose has had the title a long time, but when I think of somebody that's, like, dominant champ, I think of somebody that has, you know, not only won all their matches, but won them pretty decisively. I think of Asuka.
Yeah.
I think of Asuka. I think Tribal Chief I would throw in that category, too.
Yeah.
Although, it's getting harder, but I think that's part of the story, is that it's getting harder.
For him to win?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm very interested in the Bloodline story.
Yeah, I'm just interested because Sami Zayn, but...
I think all the people playing their parts well. We'll talk about that on Saturday.
I know. I was like, let's stop getting ahead here.
Yeah.
Mandy Rose had her interview. She was just talking about Alpha Fire and so that she wasn't worried about anyone. And so then we had Javier Bernal... I hope I pronounced that right. Yeah. Backstage. He was just talking to everybody that he wants to challenge. First, he was like, I want to challenge Axiom, and Axiom's hurt. And then he was like, okay, I want to challenge Ilya Dragunov, and he's hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And then he requested somebody else, and they also weren't available. And then he just blamed the interviewer and just...
I do love that right before this interview with him, they showed what McDonagh did to Axiom in their match, and the interviewer, when he said Axiom, the interviewer was like, did you not watch the thing that I literally just showed 2 minutes ago? Like,
yeah,
I do like that little detail.
Yeah, he's somebody else. Javier is somebody else that this is the first time I've seen him. And just from that promo alone, I'm like, okay, you got my attention. Like,
yeah.
I don't know, just I enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
So then we had Booker T in the ring and Carmelo Hayes, you know, he has a match for the NXT North American Championship next week against Wes Lee.
Mm-hmm.
So Carmelo Hayes was out, Wes Lee was out with Booker T in the ring.
This is the first time I've seen Carmelo Hayes, but it seems like Carmelo Hayes is a pretty big character.
Yes. They were having their contract signing for the match next week on NXT. Mm-hmm. And this will be Wesley's first title defense.
Yeah, because he just wanted to Hell in Havoc in the ladder match.
Yes. But I mean, this was just your typical contract signing. There is conflict, and I do like, I don't know why, but I loved how Booker T was during this. I don't know why I liked how he was just like, enough. Like, I liked that because usually people like scurry away whenever there's conflict in the ring.
Tony Schiavone just tends to wander off, like,
yes.
So but he always like walks down with his head down. Like, Tony Schiavone always looks like somebody told him to leave.
Yes,
and he looks really upset.
Well, about usually it. They do. But
that's like, you remember when MJF shoved Shivani and got all that heat? Like, yes. We all love Shivani.
Yes. But anyway, NXT. Mm-hmm. So I do also want to note that with Carmelo, Hayes was Trick Williams. And I just thought he was really funny because he was like yawning and he was just being so dramatic. And mm-hmm. I love dramaticness in wrestling. I love absurdness and I just love it. But I just, I don't know. I really liked that segment for some reason. Did you like that segment?
I thought it was fine. I thought it went kind of long for me.
Yeah.
I could see that. But overall, I thought it was fine. I think it builds the match well. I think it'll be a good match.
Yeah. I don't know why. I think I just liked all the personalities coming together, and I don't know. I just really
Trick Williams was the highlight for me. Right? I will say that. Yes.
Right? Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know much about him.
Did you notice, too, that every time, like, he had an outburst, like, Booker T would stare him down?
Trick Williams?
Yeah. Like, he would, like, yell something, and Booker T would just...
That's so funny. I don't know if I noticed that or not, but so then we had a vignette mm-hmm. for Dijakovic.
Can't wait for this dude to come back.
He's awesome. Yes.
He's great. Him and Keith Lee. Go back and watch him and Keith Lee's matches in NXT if you haven't seen them.
Oh, there's like a million of them.
It's like it's great. It's like an Elite match mixed with like a Lesnar-Lashley match. Like it's just beef on beef, but it's also flippy as hell.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's a really special kind of match.
It was, yes.
Yeah. But yeah, that dude's super talented. So glad he's back.
He's coming back soon.
Yeah, I can't wait.
So the next segment was Odyssey Jones, Malik Blade, and Edris Enof. I'm like butchering these Enofe, names. I apologize. I'm butchering these names.
We're still learning.
Yes.
I mean, you had trouble with Shinsuke Nakamura in the very beginning, so you'll get there.
That's true, yes. Mm-hmm. But they just talked about a story with one of their dads about
his dad had a water sweater vest that he always wears, yeah.
And it was like this big story.
It doesn't seem to be tying into anything right now, but
that we know of. There could have been stuff that we missed.
Yeah.
So,
but like nobody walked up or anything. They just kind of said this stuff and then we moved on.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point. Mm-hmm. And then we had a match with Brooks Jensen and Jason Briggs with Fallon Henley versus Schism.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure how to feel about Schism yet, but this is coming from somebody that loved Grizzled Young Veterans.
Oh, I forgot they're part of Schism. I loved
Grizzled Young Veterans.
Yeah, you did.
So the Schism's really hard for me. It's going to take a minute to get used to, especially because I always loved the chance the British crowd had for Zach Gibson. That was always a great source of entertainment.
Well, oh no, what were they again? I remember they were always cussing, right? Like, or no.
Yeah, something about take your shoes off.
Like, something like that, yeah.
I'm going to have to see with Schism, because I'm going to have to separate my love for Grizzled Young Veterans.
Yeah. I don't know much about...
I'm not even sure what they renamed James Drake to. I didn't catch it. I know Zach Gibson's Rip Fowler. I know that.
I know. I wasn't able to like catch the names of everybody. I know that The Rock's daughter's in it. And I don't want to refer to her as The Rock's daughter because she's her own person.
I think her name was... what did they say? Ava Rain? Does that sound right?
I don't know. I don't remember. I wasn't able to catch it. But yeah, they kind of had their match. I don't really know how I feel about Schism. Like you said, like,
we just don't know enough
want
yet.
To like them because they seem kind of like shitsters. And you know I like my shitsters in wrestling.
Yeah.
But I just don't know if, like, to me right now, I don't know if they all mesh that well together, in my opinion, right now. Mm-hmm. But I get it. I think they're just newly formed, right?
Simone Johnson just joined them.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. But so maybe they're still trying to like get that good rhythm as well.
It could be.
So I mean, I'm intrigued to learn more about Schism, though.
Yeah. I'm not against the idea. I just loved Grizzled Young Veterans.
Yes. I mean, and the others, like Brooks Jensen and Josh Briggs and Fallon Henley, I'm sure they'd be a great little group, but I'm just not really... I'm from West Virginia. I see enough country people.
It seemed like...
I don't need a gimmick.
They kept talking in the match about how they were, like, getting back on track. So I think they were bigger before.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I think they're, like, bouncing back from something. Maybe one of them was injured. I don't know.
Okay, yeah. Okay. I mean, maybe I'm just being too judgmental about them right now.
I think you might be.
I might be. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is. I just don't like the country gimmick.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can literally walk out my door and find a country person. I don't want to see what I can find in, like, out my front door on TV.
Yeah, but, I mean, you can say that for any gimmick, really. Like, look at Jon Moxley. Like, you think there's people saying, man, I can look out my window and see crazy people like that walking down my street just wanting to fight everything.
I mean, that is a good point.
Yeah.
That is a good point. I think I am judging them too harshly, but I'm going to stand by my conviction. And I'm going to say, as of today's date, whatever today's date is, what is this, November 16th?
Mm-hmm.
I do not like them.
I predict you'll be saying in 6 months, I really like them. I misjudged them.
I know. I probably will. Mm-hmm. Because I get such a soft spot for wrestlers because I don't want to judge them too much because of all everything they have to do so much.
Mm-hmm.
And like, so then I get a soft spot for them. And then I'm like, well, they're a person. I probably shouldn't say those things.
Yeah.
But anyway. Mm-hmm. I know at one point, though, Jensen did have a scary dive during that match. Mm. Because I think that was the one where I was like, oh man, are they hurt? Or
I think so. I think I remember that. So,
yeah. Well, after that, Shawn Michaels presented the a man and women's to Iron Man Survivor's Challenge.
Okay, so I am so torn on this. So, first of all...
Did I say Iron Man?
No, you said Iron Survivor.
Okay.
I'm so torn on this because, number one, I love championship scrambles, which is essentially kind of what this is. Kind of. Do you know what a championship scramble is?
Not a clue.
Okay, so see, tell me if you think this sounds fun and you wish they'd bring it back. So championship scramble was a 20-minute match, and it would start with two people, and every, I think, 2 minutes, a new wrestler would come in. And whoever got a pinfall was the champ. Well, they were champ until someone else got pinned. And whoever the last person to get a pin was before time ran out was champ.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, that's how technically the Brian Kendrick was WWE champion for like 6 minutes because of that match.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think that sounds really fun.
Yeah.
Iron Survivor's kind of similar because they have the people coming in at each time. Although I think it gets kind of busy. Because it is built like an Iron Man match, so it's based on how many falls there are, and it's 25 minutes, and a new wrestler comes in every 5 minutes. My issue here is your first 5 minutes, you've got two wrestlers, and then the next 5 minutes, you get your third, next 5 minutes, you get your fourth, next 5 minutes, you get your fifth. So you really only have 5 minutes of wrestling with everybody in there at the same time. Like, I would break the time down a little more. I would do like championship scramble every... we'll call it 3 minutes. Then you got half the match with everybody involved.
Oh, yeah.
And to me, that's the most fun. That's why I get disappointed when Elimination Chambers, people get eliminated before everybody's out there. Because I love madness and car crash matches.
I don't like it. If there's too much going on, I don't like it.
But in addition to the every 5 minutes, keeping track of the points and the time limit, if you're the one that gets pinned, you have to go in this penalty box for 90 seconds. The penalty box is where it starts to kind of jump the shark for me. I understand the concept of keeping count of points because I've always thought a multi-man Iron Man match would be interesting. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to get to see if it's as interesting as I've always thought it's going to be. It's got elements of the championship scramble, which I like because you got the people coming in and everything. But the penalty box I feel like the penalty box might just be a step too far.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to say, if you're the one that gets pinned, you lose a point. Which I think would be a lot. I think that would make for a lot more drama than the penalty box. Because the penalty box, you're out of the match for a minute and a half. There's upteen number of things that could happen before you ever get back in the match. Whereas if you take a point away, you've got a guy that, oh my God, I've got to get two pinfalls in 5 minutes because this guy has more than me, but I don't have to beat him. I could beat this. I think the story would be better if they lost a point if they got pinned. But that's just a personal thing. We'll see how it plays out. The penalty box may end up being great. I don't know.
Yeah.
The penalty box is just a little too busy for me.
Yeah.
But for such a busy match, I will give Shawn Michaels kudos that he explained it very well to where I could understand it.
He did, yes.
So kudos to him for that.
Yes.
It's just a little bit busy, but I'm not going to put it in the bin because there's a lot of aspects of it I like.
Yes.
So I'm interested to see what the final product looks like. And we're getting a men's and a women's, so it'll be interesting. I hope that with all of the stipulations, what's nice is this gives the opportunity to run this match back and tell so many different stories in it because there's so many pieces to it.
Yeah.
So.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Which I will say that NXT has so many different storylines already going on right now. I noticed just from this episode. So, mm-hmm. Yes. Which is kind of very drastically different from
Dynamite. 2 hours. Well, oh, I thought you were going to say old NXT, and I was going to say, well, you got 2 hours versus one.
No. No, from Dynamite. Mm. But so then we had Indy Hartwell versus Tatum Paxley with Ivy on the outside. So Indy just has this like new personality. She's more aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
So Indy won this match. I don't know much about Indy. I won't lie. I really only know her name because I've seen her pop up on like Candice LeRae's Instagram page.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just intrigued because she's so close with Candice LeRae. But yes, I mean, I'm down for a more, like, intense indie, though.
Mm-hmm.
We had then a Scripps vignette.
Don't know anything about Scripps.
No. I don't know if anybody does at this point, right?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't know if we know who it's supposed to be. Right? I don't know.
Well, this is something that people can tell us, like...
Yeah, share your theories.
Right? Tell us if we're pronouncing things wrong, too.
Yeah, we don't want to be disrespectful like right? that.
So then we have... Well, before the main event, we had Roxanne Perez talking backstage with Indy Hartwell. And mm-hmm. Indy was just kind of, like, more aggressive and just more, like, this is why I'm not going to have friends. Like, it's mm-hmm. just, she was very aggressive. I don't know mm-hmm. much about them. Mm-hmm. I know Roxanne Perez just from mainly from when she was on the main roster.
Yeah, I know she was big. I think in Impact she was Roxy.
Oh, okay.
Fun fact about Roxanne Perez that I read the other day. She had a match on SmackDown a couple weeks ago. They did the Pick Your Poison matches.
Mm-hmm.
Roxanne Perez is the first person to wrestle on SmackDown that's younger than the show SmackDown itself.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. How old is she?
She's only like, I think she's like 22, 23.
Oh, wow. So she wasn't in Impact very long.
No, people saw her coming from a mile away. They were like, she's going to be special. So,
oh, man.
I haven't seen a lot of her work, but I'm excited to see if she lives up to the hype.
I mean, from what I've seen, I can understand why people were saying that, though.
Yeah.
But, well, then we had the main event, which was Mandy Rose versus Alba Fire, which I am not going to lie. I was convinced that Mandy Rose was going to lose her title because it was the main event. Mm-hmm. No offense to women. I absolutely think they should be the main event.
Mm-hmm.
But I was convinced there was going to be a title change.
I kind of thought so, too, because I didn't see the point of bringing Alba back because they just fought at Halloween Havoc.
Right? So I was like, okay, this must be where they're going to make that
but
change.
But at the same time, judging by the way the rest of the women were on the show, I didn't really see anybody as being booked as Mandy's next challenger yet.
That's true. That's very true.
Yeah.
I mean, I was a little
maybe Indy Hartwell, but it seems like she's kind of slotting into something with Roxanne Perez.
Yeah.
All the other women have other stuff going on. Nobody's really mentioned thinking about chasing Mandy Rose. And I know that's not always the case. Sometimes the challenger just randomly appears.
I was gonna say, we also don't really know a lot of the women's roster, so there could have been something said and we just didn't see it yet.
True.
Because we've only watched... This is our second week that we've watched recently.
True.
So, but then at the end, though... So, I mean, this match, though, was pretty good.
It was...
What? You didn't like it?
I felt like it I almost felt like it was rushed. And I think that's because of the time on it. Because the match itself didn't kick off till like 5 till 10. And then I think the whole show the show ran over. It ran over till like 10:05 or something. But still, that's not a long time for a last man standing match. So that kind of concerned me off the get. Because I was like, usually those are, I mean, admittedly, they're drawn out because of all the ref counts and stuff. But like, it feels like somebody couldn't go anymore after that time. And I was looking at it, I was like, 10 minutes. I was like, how are they not going to be able to go?
But
and,
I mean,
and I'll be honest, the ending didn't really help that thought with me because...
Oh, really?
Because I had just, a few years ago at Evolution, I watched Becky Lynch jump off a ladder through Charlotte Flair, through an announce table, and they both got up fine. And Alba Fire was knocked off the top of the ladder through the announce table, and then that was it.
Yeah, but Isla Dawn is a witch.
Yeah, Isla Dawn misted her, essentially.
Yeah. Well, that's what happens anytime anybody's misted. They just freaking can't go on. So, I felt like it makes sense. Right? Like,
valid point.
As soon as you're misted, boom, the match is over.
It's so funny that it's used so much as like a finishing spot.
It is.
It's very funny.
Which, I really liked the ending of this because do you not remember how much I loved Isla Dawn on NXT UK?
I remember.
So whenever she showed up, I was like, oh my god, this is awesome. And then she was a witch, I found out, which is even better because I love that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So I was here for that ending and I loved it. I agree, it was rushed. But maybe this is just my feminist soul coming out. But I feel like usually if they make any match be rushed, it's always the women's matches.
No matter what promotion.
Yes. So I'm not surprised that it was rushed.
I've heard Impact is pretty fair to their women.
But wasn't Impact the one that, I know WWE was like the women's revolution, but wasn't Impact like miles ahead of them?
Yeah, because they had their knockouts division
so,
running for a while.
Yeah, so, so I feel like of course they're going to be much better at it. Because they started forever ago.
Yeah.
Even though WWE, but that's just WWE. They like to think they create everything. They like to think they're like the be-all, end-all company.
Well, my thing is with whenever they claim that like something like that's historic, it's like, well, it's only historic because you made it not possible for so long.
Right.
Like, and this is self-inflicted history.
And just because it's historic for you doesn't mean that everybody else hasn't already got ahead of the game.
Yeah.
Like, it's just you.
That's my one beef still with WWE is it doesn't... It feels like it alienates itself from all the other promotions
it
when...
Does.
Like, AEW and stuff. Like, they mention all these other promotions where wrestlers came from.
Yes.
And it's like WWE's, like, you know, somebody leaves the promotion. It's like, oh, they went and, you know, did something not wrestling, even though they clearly wrestled.
Right?
Cody Rhodes. But they didn't do it as bad with Cody. But I think Cody would have been like, come on. Nobody's that dumb to think I haven't been wrestling.
Well, it's just I
miss Cody.
I was a lot more hopeful with Triple H taking over that he would play friendly with others and not do this their oblivious like, oh, we're the only wrestling company stuff. I mean, they have been mentioning, like, New Japan, but I don't think it's because they're playing with others. I think it's because they're trying to get money somehow. They're trying to make more of a profit.
I wish they would play nicer with others because, you know, there's... How good of a situation could it be, like... This will never happen, but let's say hypothetically, you know, AEW and WWE develop a working partnership. How bananas would it be if somebody didn't have anything for somebody in creative in WWE? Why don't you go see what AEW has for you? And on the other side, Tony Khan's like, I don't have anything for you at the moment. Why don't you go to WWE and see what they're doing? And then all of a sudden, you end up with, like, Miro popping up to challenge the Tribal Chief for a nice little feud for Roman. You know, Miro could take the loss because Roman's the champ, and there's no way WWE's belt's going to another promotion. And AEW will be the same way. And that's fine. That's fair.
But it's still just fine.
It is. And you can get a good match out of it. A lot of people don't like foregone conclusions like that. Like, that's why they get mad at the, like, Jon Moxley wrestling Lee Moriarty. They're like, there's no stakes because we know Moxley's winning. And it's like, yeah, but, I mean, have you ever heard of a tune-up match? Like, if you're looking at this from a kayfabe perspective... Maybe Jon Moxley wants to wrestle Lee Moriarty because he doesn't want to be rusty when he goes up against MJF.
I I hope people don't come at me, but I just think that wrestling fans sometimes are just too uptight and too intense about things. Like, there have been times where people have come at me. Perfect example. Someone's come at me before because I said I liked Young Bucks. Mm-hmm. And they're like, why would you like them? They're ruined. And it's like, why do you care who I like? Mm-hmm. How does this affect you in any way? You don't have to go buy anything for them. So who cares? Like, so it's just, I think sometimes wrestling fans.
I see this a lot with AEW too, because I see a lot of comments. Oh, AEW is going terribly. Tony Khan should give up book, yada, yada. It's year three. Okay? The first couple years of the promotion are probably Tony Khan playing out fantasy scenarios for booking, getting the kind of feel of the company.
Which might have bit him in the ass. Yeah. But.
So who's booking what. You know, that's how we ended up with the shift before where the Elite and Cody lost booking power. You know, and there's going to be times that the well dries up. The excitement's worn off. It's something they're doing every week now. I mean, have you ever done something every week? I mean, after a while, you just start to phone it in because it just feels so routine.
Yeah.
And it'll be that way until he gets the next spark of a good story, and then it'll pick back up. That's how wrestling's worked forever.
Yeah.
So I don't think, like, we need to be, you know, pronouncing AEW's death 3 years in. And the fact that, you know, they decided to build their company around somebody that they shouldn't have, that's okay. That's a mistake people make in year three.
Yeah.
But you've got to give it time to revive itself. You know, the young core's coming. You know, we're pushing Ethan Page. We're pushing, you know, this world title tournament they're doing.
Well, you are getting ahead of yourself because we are still talking about NXT, though.
I know.
So let's finish up with NXT, and then you can go on your rant.
I thought we had, because that was the last thing.
I was just going to say overall opinions about the show.
Oh, I think Mandy Rose needs to go back to the main roster.
Yeah.
But I don't know who you give that title to in NXT. Can't wait to keep watching Braun Breaker, see what he does. Excited about that. Yeah. There's a lot of really talented people in NXT right now. I could see why a lot of people have said that NXT is starting to kind of return back to being a good show.
Yeah.
I could definitely see where the building blocks are. You know, it did enough that I'll want to tune in next week, even if I wasn't, you know, just going to sit here and talk about it anyway. But overall, I think it's going in a good direction, and I'm interested to see what the future holds for NXT.
Yes, I agree. Totally agree.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so for AEW Dynamite, we kicked it off with Chris Jericho and Sammy Guevara versus Claudio and Bryan Danielson.
I liked the match, but it was a little too long for me.
What is up with you and everything being too long?
Maybe my attention span the past couple nights has been a little shorter. I don't know.
They had this really cool move, though, that Claudio did on Chris Jericho, because Chris Jericho had his bat out, and he was going to hit Claudio, and Claudio just had he just did not care. So he just grabbed it out of his hand,
He, like, caught it.
He caught
it. Between his arm and his ribs.
To stop him from hitting him. Yeah. But Jericho still had it, because Claudio then swung him around.
While he was holding the bat.
And it was hilarious to me. But yes, it was a good match. Claudio didn't make Jericho tap for the win. Mm-hmm. So, but it was a pretty good match. I like the JAS. Mm-hmm. I like Blackpool Combat Club, but can they just separate, though?
Mm-hmm.
I am so... How many more different versions of matches can we get from these guys? Like,
at least one more. The Fatal 4-Away at Full Gear.
I know, but it's just...
Jericho should pin Sammy, and we should break those two up finally.
I'm just ready for them to go their own separate ways.
Yeah. I wish we would have done more with Danny Garcia.
I do wish that he would have... Not just come right back to the JAS, but, you know. So we had the Moxley and MJF promo for their Full Gear match.
Excited for that match.
It was. JR was, like, input information. Then we had Taz and Excalibur.
Mm-hmm.
So, But so they were all kind of pumping this match up, which I think will be a good match also.
I think there'll be some great storytelling going on in there.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
It may not be the most moves match, but I think it's going to be a story match, and I'm here for it.
Yeah. Yes. I am pumped for the story side of it, mm-hmm. but I am a very... It's not my style of wrestling that I really... I like Jon Moxley, but I typically don't love his matches because it's just not my style.
Mm-hmm.
He kind of bleeds too much for me and like he's just a little too aggressive, but it's just not my style. But I know that he puts on good matches. So like mm-hmm. I know it's going to be a good match. It's just not going to be my cup of tea.
Mm-hmm.
But I do like both their promo skills because mm-hmm. God bless it, Moxley can... make me feel all the feels. Like, right after everything went down with CM Punk and the Elite and, like, all of that went down, like, Moxley, like, that was the next day
mm-hmm.
at Dynamite, right? He mm-hmm. did that promo, and it was straight fire, and I was like, oh my gosh, I am here for AEW!
Mm-hmm.
That's how I felt at that time.
Mm-hmm.
But, so, I mean, he can get me pumped up, though.
Mm-hmm. And MJF... Oh, man. That dude, on the microphone, that dude's on another level.
He is, yes.
Another level. He's a great storyteller, too. The Punk feud was really good with those two.
It was, yes.
And you're not the biggest fan of CM Punk even before all that stuff.
I have never been a fan of CM Punk. I have never understood what the hype was. I've always felt like he was just this, like, man-child. Like, I just always felt like that's what he was. And...
Mm-hmm.
Here we are now, and I still feel like he's a man-child, mm-hmm. so...
But going back to my previous point, him and MJF's feud was really, really good, and
yeah.
MJF told a lot of great stories in that feud.
Yes, he did. Mm-hmm. MJF, he's just so good at, like... I feel so much mixed emotions in a good way when he does his promos, because he can, like, go from, like... Aw, poor MJF, to like, oh my god, I hate this man, in like 5 seconds in a promo.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't seem like it's out of place, though. It just seems like such a good promo.
Mm-hmm.
So there's so many times where it's like, I know you're not a good guy in his gimmick, but mm-hmm. like, oh my gosh, like I still feel bad for him because the way he tells his stories.
Mm-hmm.
With everything, even with William Regal recently, where... Mm-hmm. He was just kind of, like, talking about how Regal, like, destroyed his life, very dramatic.
You in because his strength is he's good at making himself the victim.
He's very good at... His character, like, his gimmick is so... He's, like, he's abusive. His character, his gimmick. Let me clarify that. MJF is not the character is like emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe mm-hmm. I shouldn't have said that, but just to clarify.
I think you're allowed a faux pas here and there. I think.
Yes. Well, then we had this vignette starting that we didn't really know who... I mean, obviously, I think right away we knew it was Darby Allin.
Uh-huh.
But it was this body bag just being carried everywhere. And it was Sting. He picked up Darby Allin in a body bag.
Mm-hmm.
And they're in this car in the end. And
Darby just hops in the front seat.
Right, with like his bloody head. Mm-hmm. And like it just unzips. And it's like, oh, this is so Darby Allin.
Yeah.
I
won't lie, I love the Darby Allin videos. I know they're corny as hell, but I love them.
Really?
I do.
I don't know.
I love my wrestling to have a heavy dose of goofy with it, though, too.
I don't see him as goofy, though.
Well, no, I mean, like his video, like, to me, it's goofy because it's just so serious the time. And it's like,
yeah,
it's like this dude is so serious.
And it's always like,
you've got Matt Menard running around going entertainers. And then you've got Darby, who's so goddamn serious.
He's very like obsessed with death.
Yeah.
And I think maybe that's why I'm just like, sometimes they're cool.
Yeah.
But this one, I was just like,
I just don't want Darby to die in a ring. selling something.
That might be how he wants to go. Who knows?
I want Darby to be around for a long time.
Well, we then had Jeff Jarrett.
Let's try that again.
Jeff Jarrett doing a promo on Sting.
Man, I've never had strong feelings about Jeff Jarrett Jarrett has always just been kind of there for me.
So, you know that I didn't watch wrestling whenever he was big, I guess. Still first around or something.
Oh, Jeff Jarrett has a rich wrestling history. Though, not always the best way, but
I don't really know much about him at all. I don't know if people are pumped he's back. I'm kind of bored with him. So, like, that's what? He just gets mad and chases the camera guy? That's his gimmick?
I mean, he hits people with guitars, and he's like a narcissist. Like, you're more to Jeff Jarrett than that, but...
Okay. I mean, I know. I've just
never been the hugest Jeff Jarrett fan. Like, I watched him wrestle. I watched him wrestle when I was younger, and he was in WCW and WWE, and...
Yeah.
You know, I watched him wrestle China in the Intercontinental Championship match.
Yeah.
But he's just, like, Jeff Jarrett's just never been a big... Like, it's Jeff Jarrett, or it's Jeff Jarrett. I've never felt either way. It's just always been kind of like, oh, Jeff Jarrett. That's how I felt when he showed up in AEW.
That's kind of, I mean, like, I didn't know him before, but that's kind of how I feel. Anytime he's on the screen, I'm just like, oh, it's him again.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah, and I know for some people, there are people out there that have strong feelings for Jeff Jarrett one way and the other.
Yeah.
But for me, he's just always just kind of been there.
Yeah, so. Well, then we had Anthony Bowens versus Swerve Strickland in a match. We got to see the Acclaim's new music video against Swerve.
Oh, my God.
In our glory.
Oh, my God. Paul White is Captain Insano. Oh, my.
Yeah. I always feel like the Acclaim does really well at, like, pushing it too far a little bit, but not being bad pushed too far.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make any sense?
Like it's pushed far, but not to the point of overkill.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're, like, with Max Caster's raps and, like, I don't know. But Swerve did win this match, though, which I honestly think, I don't know. Have you heard if Bowens was actually hurt?
I did not see anything.
But I just kind of feel like... Maybe that tied into it. Maybe that's why Swerve won. Because it was a really awkward finish.
But no, I think
Bowens got hurt.
I think Swerve won because I think we're going to break Keith Lee and Swerve up very soon. And Swerve needs to show he can win singles matches so he can go on a singles run.
But I feel like everybody already knows that. But okay.
Yeah, but within the context of AEW, we haven't really seen Swerve as a singles wrestler.
That's true. I guess he did kind of get right up with...
Mm-hmm. Because I think Swerve would make an outstanding heel.
Oh, yeah.
I would even say give Swerve the AEW world title.
Really?
Yeah, I think Swerve could have some fun with the world title.
I would much prefer, like... And I feel like I much prefer somebody like Ethan Page to have the title.
I could see Swerve taking the All-Atlantic title off of Orange Cassidy. I could see that.
I could see that.
Mm-hmm. And I could see it being somebody's fault.
Mr. Danhausen,
yes.
Me too. Because I think he's going to turn heel soon.
He was not on Dynamite.
I know.
Like, we haven't heard anything, so it's...
But he's been posting things on Instagram.
Yeah, he's doing the work on his social media.
Oh, yeah.
Which Danhausen's not got where he was. I mean, that's... They probably just told him, here, you can probably build it better than we can.
Yeah.
On social media.
I just hope that at the Jericho Cruise, he's not heelish.
He's the host.
That's true. He can't be heelish.
Unless he wants us to have a bad time. He'll probably curse all of us. He'll probably be like, this entire ship is cursed. And we'll be like, aw, shit.
Be awesome.
And William Regal will convulse somewhere over in the room. From where, like, he sold the curse that last time.
Oh,
and he was, like,
I thought you meant William Regal.
No, I thought
you meant William Regal was going to be on the cruise. And no. I was like, shut up.
No, he's not. Oh. But, like, that would be cool.
Yeah. That would be cool, man.
Well,
moving on, though. I know we got off topic there.
Yeah.
So then we had Nyla Rose in a Jade video, which is just a package for Full Gear match. And I
love this story.
I love this
story. I love how far Nyla Rose has taken it. I love that on the match banner, she is in quotes TBS champion. I love it. And I love Nyla Rose.
I mean,
in and out of the ring, I really like Nyla Rose. She's, yes. If you've never seen her Ollie Page video, she's such a fun dork, and I love it. And
well, even she's just on her Instagram page. Yeah,
and she's going to be on the Jericho Cruise, and I really hope we meet her.
That was just announced today. So we're very excited about that.
But. Yeah. Yeah, it was a good round of announcements. The Acclaim's going to be there, too.
And
Vicky Guerrero.
Yes.
But anyway, I love this story, and I love the idea that we found out from the Full Gear media thing today that that was Tony Schiavone's brainchild.
Yeah.
Was Nyla Rose stealing the title. So, yeah, if those are the ideas that Schiavone's got, let's get some more from him.
Yeah.
Because this is really fun.
Yes.
And I think it's the most interesting that Jade Cargill's been.
I think so, too, because
We've never seen her be in a spot where people are getting the upper hand on her.
Well, and I liked her at first. Mm-hmm. Well, I still like her, let me say that. Mm-hmm. But I really liked her at first because I was like, oh, damn, like, she is impressive. Like, hasn't really wrestled at all, and this is her.
Mm-hmm.
But then it was like, she never wrestled. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, you're the champ. I want to see you. You're the champ. You're the champ for a reason, supposedly. Let me see you do your thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like they booked her terribly.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
but I mean, they really struggle with booking the women's division in general. I mean, right now they have four stories going on, which is good.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
But
three of them on main TV.
The
only one missing off main TV is Athena.
Oh yeah. Oh mm-hmm. yeah, that's true.
Yeah, but I think she'll be back soon.
Oh,
she yeah. might be Toni Storm's first challenger if she beats Jamie Hayter.
And let me just say, I would not be upset if Jamie Hayter won.
Mm-hmm.
I like her. Haters gonna hate.
I think Jamie Hayter should lose because of Britt Baker, and I think we need to pull the damn trigger.
Oh my god, get them apart already.
Yeah, and I know exactly how I'd do it. I would have Britt lose to Saraya, and because she's pissy about it, she cost Jamie Hayter her match because she wants her to be as miserable as her.
Ooh, you're booking again.
Yeah. That's what I would do.
Well, after Nyla Rose and Jade package video thing,
mm-hmm.
we had Samoa Joe in the ring with Tony Schiavone Schiavone in the ring. They just did this. I said that twice.
Mm-hmm.
But this was a really good promo by Joe, though.
Mm-hmm.
Samoa Joe's so good on the mic. Whenever he was doing commentary on WWE, he was just like voice as smooth as butter.
He was a really good commentator. He's got a career in that if he wants it.
Right? Which he might want to because man cannot stay healthy.
Well, we'll see how he holds up on Saturday.
Yes.
Because this led to Powerhouse Hobbs coming out, yep. Which, yes, put more Powerhouse Hobbs in my veins. I love Powerhouse Hobbs.
you like the big guys, though.
I do, but I really like Powerhouse Hobbs. Like,
what is about him that you love so much?
I don't know. I see him on my TV, and I'm so glad he's there.
No,
it has nothing to do with the Toykovich where he carried around the Power Ranger.
I was going
to
say, I'm pretty sure, let me say it. Uh-huh. I'm pretty sure Chris likes him because he was on Ethan Page's Toy Hunting vlog one time.
Mm-hmm.
One time.
But no, I like Powerhouse Hobbs beside that. I love his personality. I love how he always looks like someone around him farted. I love all of it. I love the entire presentation of Powerhouse Hobbs. I was really sad when he was gone after the Ricky feud for a little bit.
Oh my god, you and everybody else.
Yeah.
But yeah.
But after Powerhouse Hobbs came out, then Wardlow came out.
Yes.
Turns out we're getting a triple threat at Full Gear.
Yes.
That'll be fun. That's a Hoss fight. You know, I'm here for Hoss fights.
Yes, you do love the Hoss fights.
Yes. The only thing that confuses me about it, and it's a pedantic thing, is...
A what?
It's pedantic. It's very, like, nitpicky.
Thank you.
Yeah. but they're fighting for the TNT title, but Joe is already the active Ring of Honor TV champ. So it kind of, like, I don't know if it devalues his belt or not. Like... I kind of thought maybe they were heading toward an angle where they were going to...
Combine the belts?
Combine those.
That's what I thought.
And the All Atlantic was going to become the new mid-card title.
Mm.
Which I think would be a good direction to go. Because the original idea of the TNT title... Remember, Cody had open challenges every week when, it was an open challenge championship. It was fought on TV every week.
Yeah.
which is what the Ring of Honor television title essentially was too. It had some different caveats with it, but I mean, if we're transitioning those two to combine those, I think that's fine. Combine those and put those on Ring of Honor, I'm good with that. Yeah, and just roll with the All-Atlantic Championship as your secondary title, because AEW and Ring of Honor already have a shit ton of titles. So if we merge some, I think we're okay.
Well, that, and also, though, you have to keep in mind, too, it, right now, the roster and everything is just so intense because they haven't been able to separate Ring of Honor from AEW yet. Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of the issues right now is just there's too much because they can't separate them yet. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I know that Tony Khan's been working on it, and I'm not saying, like, you need to hurry up, because I know mm-hmm. he's working on it. Mm-hmm. But it's just a lot sometimes.
I think he said in the media thing today they're gonna evaluate after Ring of Honor's next pay-per-view.
Which is what, December 10th?
It's the same day as NXT Deadline.
I know. Which I am sorry,
WWE, NXT, you bastards.
Well, I am sorry, NXT, but or WWE. I am making the executive decision that we're going to watch Ring of Honor first because I think they need the publicity more than WWE.
Fair enough.
So
fair enough.
Well, after Samoa Joe and Hobbs and Wardlow mm-hmm. and all that, mm-hmm. we had a Britt Baker promo, which was a really good promo. Mm-hmm. I think she made very valid points in what she said. Mm-hmm. But I think both women have good points because, you know, Saraya's is very much like she did have to go through a lot to get back here, mm-hmm. like with her addiction and then her neck injury. And it, I mean, she had to go through a lot to get mm-hmm. back here. But I like Britt Baker too, because like she might not have had to go through that, mm-hmm. but she had to do a lot to get to where she was. She's worked really hard. Mm-hmm. Think of Britt Baker when she first was like NXT first, or not NXT, AEW mm-hmm. first started. She was nowhere near what she is now. I'm not saying that, and I'm meaning more like promo wise. Mm-hmm. but I mean, I know Britt Baker can put on bangers sometimes, but I know I feel like in Saraya and her like Paige Prime uh-huh. would run circles around Britt Baker wrestling.
There,
but I kind of feel like I like, I just kind of feel like, I don't know where I was going with that.
This match kind of concerns me.
Yeah.
Because Saraya, it's her first match yeah. back, and I don't know that Britt Baker can carry her yet.
But who would you have chosen, though?
For Saraya's comeback
yeah,
match?
Yeah, I don't
Baker.
Know.
I would yeah. have picked Britt Baker anyway.
Because I don't know.
Especially
if
since Britt Baker said in the past that Saraya was her dream opponent. I would have, if we're looking at AEW as her return, I would have picked Britt Baker too. I don't think
yeah.
I don't think there's a better pick.
Especially with how they booked the women's division.
Yeah, I just I'm a little worried that it's gonna be kind of clunky. Just because of those circumstances.
But I
don't think there's a better choice
than
Britt
Baker.
Well,
we don't know how much Saraya's been training, though.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she might not have any, like, rust because she's been training.
Mm-hmm.
Like, who knows? Her and Britt Baker could be training every night together to have this, like, perfect match.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't say it was going to be bad. I said
okay,
I was concerned.
I'm okay to be hopeful,
mm-hmm.
but I'm also concerned.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess I'm trying to be hopeful about it because I loved Paige.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very excited to see Saraya mm-hmm. without being... Was it scripted whenever she was wrestling on WWE, or was she able to do her own thing?
I think so.
So I guess it'd be kind of nice to see her. I do feel like there are some like problematic issues surrounding her boo.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to focus on that. I'm just going to be super pumped that she's back. So. But yeah, so I am. It was a very good promo by Britt Baker, though, I thought.
Yeah.
Which I wasn't surprised. Mm-hmm. But. So then we had Top Flight. and A.R. Fox versus Death Triangle with Alex Abrahantes.
Flippy holy shit city.
Which is my jam. So this was like my match of the night.
Yeah.
Loved this match. Mm-hmm. I love Dante Martin. I've never seen his brother wrestle mm-hmm. because every time we've been watching, he's been injured.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I could see some ring rust with him,
mm-hmm.
you know, just in the beginning. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? But that being said, for dude not wrestling for a long time, he killed it still.
Mm-hmm.
But, and A.R. Fox, we just found out about him on Dark. Oh, yeah. So he was on AEW Dark this week.
Mm-hmm. And, he's been on Dark a couple times.
Well, I know, but he was on there this week.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were familiar with him, and he just fit right in with them. So mm-hmm. it was just really good. There's just match.
People flying everywhere.
Yeah.
And then that's just on one side. The other side, you had Ray Fenix, who I could watch wrestle for days.
Yes.
Just because I can see all the variations he does on things.
And like, I've always loved Pac.
Yeah.
Pac.
Oh, man. Pac's so good. Pac is so good.
I just, the one thing.
When he was on 205 Live as Neville, yes. King of the Cruiserweights, that's such an underrated run.
Yes.
Such an underrated run.
I don't feel like he even gets like the respect that he should get.
Like, no, Pac is like, amazing.
I feel like Pac is so underrated in the wrestling community.
Mm-hmm.
Like, at live crowds, he doesn't get much reaction. And it's like, why are you not more pumped for this magnificent person?
Yeah, Pac is amazing.
The only thing that I would do is just brush your GD bangs out of your hair. Like, just brush the hair back. I hate that. But we did get this, so Death Triangle wins that match, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Pac pins A.R. Fox, which I liked that Top Flight wasn't pinned because mm-hmm. Dante Martin, he pops up everywhere. So it's nice for them to kind of be protected with that.
I can't wait till they finally pull the trigger on Dante Martin.
He's so young, though. So, like, mm-hmm. oh, my God. But he's going
to
be,
he's
like,
he's got time to develop. The part that he's lacking is like with Apollo Crews I said earlier. It's just the personality on screen doesn't yeah. really pop. But he's still young. He's got time to develop that. But his wrestling skill is aces.
Yes.
Dude's awesome.
Agreed. Yeah. But then we got this promo from Pac after.
Mm-hmm.
And he did not come right out and say any names.
Mm-hmm.
But he was basically like, you're not just going to come back in here. Mm-hmm. We know who you are. We know you think you're just going to come back in here and take our title,
mm-hmm.
referring to the Elite. Mm-hmm. And we get this thing pop up on the screen, and it's like a clock counting down. Well, mm-hmm. no, it wasn't a clock. It was the gear. I keep thinking it's a clock.
Mm-hmm. Well,
it was
clocks gear. Have gears, so I mean, you're close.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But it was the gear, and then like the Elite popped up on the screen. And I mean, it was pretty, I mean, like, we obviously, well, I mean, we figured they were coming back full gear.
Mm-hmm.
But it was, I don't know why I am so pumped. We actually got to be lucky enough mm-hmm. to see the Elite in Charleston, West Virginia. When
yeah, we were at the show that Kenny came back.
We were at the show that CM Punk first started planting the seeds for a drama shit.
Yeah, when he called out Hangman knowing he wasn't there.
Yes.
That's going to end up being like a historic night in AEW.
I know. We were there for that night. And we were there when Kenny Omega returned. So, like, it was just so exciting to be there. Like, it was just, like, this larger-than-life thing when he returned, I felt like.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I remember, in the ring, like, even the Young Bucks were like, oh, my God, like, it is so loud in here. Like, it was mm-hmm. so loud. It was just so fun.
Yeah.
And then, like, what, a week, 2 weeks go by, and then
no, they have blows that, up. They have that match, and then they wrestled fucking United Empire in a wonderful piece of nonsense. And then they won the titles at Full Gear.
Yes.
From Dark Order. Told that great story with Hangman.
Yes.
And then, poof.
Yeah, and everything had to ruin because mm-hmm. man-child. Mm-hmm. But, well, I don't want to put the blame on him.
But going back to the angle itself, I wouldn't have done the screen. I would have just had Death Triangle show up at Full Gear and then the Elite show up there. And that's the announcement they're back.
Yeah, but they might need people to buy.
I saw where somebody said that that was done to get the pay-per-view bought. Because Pac kind of acted like he didn't know they were going to do it. Because, like, he was talking, and then they cut that graphic, then they cut back to him, and he's like, yeah, so the Elite. And I'm like, Pac, did you just learn this when we did? Were you calling them out, and then you were surprised they answered like we were? Like, I was a little confused there.
But. I don't know. I just know that there are people that obviously disagree with me, but I have never wanted the Elite in my life more.
And you also really miss being the Elite.
I really miss being the Elite.
And not and you always tell me it's not necessarily for the Bucks. It's for, like, John Silver and anything Dark Order's doing.
Yeah, I do. And I love Brandon Cutler, and I love Ryan. I fucking love Ryan Nemeth because of being the Elite. Yeah. So I miss that. Mm-hmm. But
I think I would have, going back to how I would have done it, if I would have had the Elite pop up at Full Gear, I would have sent Brandon Cutler out there first so he could get that pop again.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's always so happy for his pop.
Because he never got a pop
before. Yeah. I think Brandon Cutler has earned that.
I know.
He should earn that pay-per-view pop.
He really should.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay. I will not talk more about CM Punk.
Okay.
But I just want people to know that I hate him.
Okay.
And the biting man that was with
Ace Steel.
Whatever his name was. Yes, the man that likes to bite.
Oh, man, poor kid.
Man children. But anyway, that's all I'm going to say about it. And I do not care. People do not like that. Anyway, so then we have your boy Ethan Page versus Bandido.
Ethan Page winning clean.
Bandido is damn impressive.
Yeah. I won't lie. I love Ethan Page. I was kind of worried about Ethan Page keeping up with Bandido. But dude held his own just fine.
Yeah. And two, I mean, in our defense, though, we weren't watching whenever he was facing, like, Darby Allin. Mm-hmm. So we've only really seen him fight, like, bigger dudes.
Mm-hmm.
So, but, I mean, he did good.
Yeah. So he held his own with Bandido.
Yes.
And I think, I hope Ethan Page wins this whole damn tournament. I love Ricky Starks, but I think you got to pull the trigger with Ethan. I mean, he's the one that fired the first shot at MJF.
Yes.
I think you got to pull the trigger on Ethan.
You keep going back to that, so yes.
Yeah.
But, I mean, so, yes, Ethan Page is moving on. So, yes.
That was the right decision. I love Bandido, but that was the right decision.
Yes. So, then we had this Luchasaurus and Christian and Jungle Boy Jack Perry video package.
Oh, man. Anytime Christian Cage is on my TV, yes, I'll have seconds.
Christian, heel Christian, is amazing.
Yeah.
The cruder, the ruder, like, the more cringeworthy it is. Mm-hmm. Oh my god, I'm in love with it more.
I just I love what the part that sold me on Christian was when he said, I'm sorry I said I wished your father, or I'm glad your father was dead. I'm sorry that your whole family's not dead. Like, that was the part that I was like, I'm sold. Get me a t-shirt. Let's go. Like,
so so you just said, for people that couldn't hear because you were laughing through that, say that again.
It was when Christian Cage said, I'm sorry I said that your dad, or something to the variant of, I'm sorry I said that your dad died, but I wish your whole family was dead, or something like that.
But wasn't he like, accept your mom, call me, or was that another time?
No, that was the same was time. It? Yeah.
So, yeah, we love Christian in this household.
Yeah. And we got to stand there in Charleston while he insulted us. And it was great. It was
great.
Man.
Well, next, though, we had Saraya backstage with Renee Paquette, which I just love those two together because they're besties. They call each other, the Joan to their Jet? No, I think I completely just butchered that. But
probably.
I butcher everything. Nah.
I'm glad Renee Paquette's in AEW.
Me too. I really like her.
Mm-hmm. I've heard that she's like the nicest person too.
Yes, I've heard that too.
And I just love the dynamic of her and Moxley. Like that dynamic just cracks me up because she's so like she doesn't take shit, But she's, like, very sweet, very smiley, and Moxley just always looked like someone's pissed in his Cheerios. Like, I just, yes. I love the dynamic.
Yes. Well, the back there, the Saraya, because she did cut a promo, and mm-hmm. it was also really good. And I, like, the way she just, like, walked off, like, after she was finished, like, she said her piece and walked off, and I was like, girl, the sass is back. Mm-hmm. I loved it. But I was like, just like Paige, mm-hmm. but I watched Total Divas. Mm-hmm. So that's why I think I got more like super attached to Paige. But, next we had Anna Jay AS mm-hmm. versus Toni Storm,
which it was supposed to be the bunny. Sucks that the bunny got sick.
I know. Mm-hmm. I like the bunny. And I was pumped for her to have time to shine. I wish that bunny would wrestle more. Mm-hmm. Does nobody remember her back with her, like, Rosemary days? Like, girl would put on kick-ass battles. And they would be mm-hmm. brutal. Mm-hmm. Like, why is she not seen more? Again, I don't like how women are booked on AEW. Mm-hmm. So, yes.
But,
Tony... Well, she wins. Mm-hmm. Hater interrupts. Haters gonna hate. I just love that. Mm-hmm. And she kind of gets in the ring and they're talking, but they don't really, like, do anything in the match.
No, Toni just, like, gets up in her face. Like,
yeah, but I'm pumped for this match
between them. I think this match will be good, and I really want to see how they end, because it's going to end some kind of shenanigan way.
I feel like, I kind of wonder if Britt Baker is going to cost her the match, like the title again, because this would be the second time that she's cost her
title. That's what I said to do. Have Britt lose to Saraya and get pissy and cost Jamie Hayter.
During this podcast?
Yeah.
Oh my, well, I guess I wasn't listening. Just yeah. kidding.
When we talked about the Britt Baker promo.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So yeah, but this is, I like Toni Storm. Mm-hmm. I've been very underwhelmed with her wrestling, though, in AEW. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what it is.
Maybe because she just hasn't really had a strong feud?
Maybe. It just doesn't seem like there's much chemistry between her and the girl she's wrestling. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. Well, this match against Anna Jay, that wasn't bad, honestly.
No,
They seem to have decent chemistry.
I think the issue is like, Toni Storm's feuds... Britt Baker was really the only one that was built decently.
Yeah.
But since she's been champ, like, it just kind of feels like she's... hasn't really been, like, a super credible threat. And it can't be Britt Baker, because it's always Britt Baker. Jamie Hayter is... And I think we could have built up a little more. I think this came about because literally they announced the match... And then there was a video package talking about how they were friends.
Yeah.
And that was it. I think they could have built this a little
better.
They
could have. They do not
know they how could have to built this to be her. Division. They could have built this to be Toni Storm's first, like, legit, long-term pain in the ass foe.
Yeah.
And I feel like it was just kind of like, hey, we're going to do this match. Here's a video package. Cool. All cut up. Great. Here we go.
Right? And it's like, this is not how you get people invested. And the women's mm-hmm. division,
that's
it's
why
already
we're so-
a struggle for them. Anyway, because
that's why we're invested in this Jade Cargill Nyla Rose story. How long has this been going on?
Right, but it's just like that's why it's already difficult for women. We have been at wrestling shows, and the things that people say about women wrestlers, it's like it's disgusting still. Mm-hmm. So, and it's just why shit on the women's division. You're making it worse. They already struggle to get respect still. Mm-hmm. 2022. They still got to... Well, I guess we are in America and you know how we are here. Mm-hmm. But it's just like... I don't know. It just... I get very angry with AEW and how they book the women's division. Mm-hmm. I'm just not a fan.
I think we're trending in a better direction. Because we at least have multiple stories.
That's true.
And they have... There's three high-profile matches at Full Gear for them. That's better than usual.
That is, yes.
I mean, so I think we're moving in the right direction. I think we're getting better. There's still work to be done. But I do think we're going the right direction.
Yeah. Well, good. Mm-hmm. So then the main, is it the main event if it's not an actual match?
What's the main event segment?
The main event segment was Jon Moxley with William Regal. He comes out.
Regal's turning. I'm calling it now. Regal's turning.
What? He's turning?
Regal's going to turn.
Heel?
Yeah. I think Regal's going to turn on Moxley.
And what? Just lead the Blackpool Combat Club?
Yeah.
And go with MJF?
Yeah. I think they're going to start breaking up the Blackpool Combat Club. Because we've already got that dissension between Wheeler Yuta and Danielson.
I mean, it was fun while it lasted. Mm-hmm. I think they probably ruined it because how much they had to fight the JAS.
Yeah, but I think what's going to happen is when they split, I think the plan, at least it kind of seems to be the plan, is Danielson and Moxley stay in AEW and Claudio and Yuta go to Ring of Honor.
Yeah. That just makes me sad because I really was pumped for Blackpool Combat Club. And I just feel like haven't been booked.
Honestly, I wish Blackpool Combat Club, like, don't get me wrong, I love Claudio and I love Wheeler Yuta, but honestly, I think Blackpool Combat Club should have just stayed Danielson and Moxley and they just wreck shop on everyone.
Yeah.
And I would have made them heels.
Yeah. I mean, I liked them all together. Mm-hmm. I just think
the JAS feud has gone on way too long. The same
matches just are making it boring.
And what's sad is I love Jericho. Yes. I think Jericho is the greatest wrestler of all time.
I agree, yes.
His stories in AEW go too long.
Really? I just feel like it's just this one right now.
The Eddie Kingston feud took forever, too.
Oh, it did, yeah.
And that's how Blackpool Combat Club got tangled up in it. That's how we got here.
Oh, yeah.
So Chris Jericho has essentially been feuding with the same group for, like, almost a year.
Oh, my gosh. That's a long time.
Yeah.
I
would like to see... And Jericho's been in a stable ever since he's been in AEW. And I understand that he's been doing that to try to kind of lift younger talent because he's recruited people that he wanted to showcase and everything. But I want to see Jericho go on a solo run in AEW.
Yeah. Well, back to that promo, though.
Mm-hmm.
You're getting ahead of yourself. Mm-hmm. The promo, though, we had... we just had Moxley doing Moxley stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have... I don't remember
MJF.
No, before him we had Stokely.
Oh yeah.
He came out.
Yeah.
And he was just doing Stokely things, you know, thinking he's all big and bad.
Mm-hmm.
And then he had his people come up and start beating them up.
Mm-hmm.
And then MJF comes out.
Yeah,
save them.
We saw Regal like get mixed in.
Yeah.
Like Regal was fighting. That was cool. Yes.
But MJF made it very clear he did not come out here to save him.
Mm-hmm.
Just making that clear. He's the devil.
Mm-hmm.
The devil does not help people.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they just like exchanged words and they're just so good at, both of them are just so good at talking.
Mm-hmm.
And I love how Moxley kept messing up the date of Full Gear.
Yeah.
And then I love how he just called himself out. He was like, well, is it Saturday or Sunday? Like, what is it?
And MJF's just like, Saturday.
Yeah. Like, yes. So, like, I don't know. I like how...
Like, I feel like they went backstage and had a chuckle after that.
Probably, yes. But, yeah, I mean, I like how the show ended.
Mm-hmm.
I think it ended too soon, because at the very end, Moxley went to leave, and then I think he realized, oh shit, I still have 3 minutes left, let me go back and make up some more talk to MJF, and then extra hit him on the way out there.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it was good overall, though.
Yeah.
Overall, I know I didn't think this episode of AEW or Dynamite was... I mean, I didn't dislike it. Mm-hmm. I didn't like it. It was just kind of watched it. Yeah. But I get it was the go-home show, but it was just kind of like, I wouldn't have been upset if I didn't watch last night's episode.
I would have been, because I want to watch Ethan Page shine any chance I can get.
Okay, that's a good point.
And you got Flippy Shit City out of it.
I did. That was... excellent match.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure during this match, I'm pretty sure my mouth was open the whole time, like in awe, because they just went so fast and like it was amazing. Like
it started for you when AR Fox like stepped off the ring post to do a shooting star press.
He looked like Spider-Man. He literally Spider-Maned up the ring post, and I was like, this is amazing.
Yeah.
But I mean, for the most part, though, I wouldn't have been upset if I'd missed this week's.
Yeah.
But I get it was the go-home show. I guess overall, I'm just feeling a little meh about AEW, and I hate to say, I know you strongly are not thinking that, because you are just like, they're 3 years old, they've got to get their new stuff in order, like, they used all their old ideas, they got to get new ones, which I know you're right. Mm-hmm. I'm going to stick around, because I love the wrestlers on the show.
Mm-hmm.
I just wish they had more storyline. I wish they were able to continue storylines if something happens that they didn't plan for.
The biggest thing that happens with AEW is they're not good at planning when something goes awry.
Yeah. Agreed.
Tony Khan's got to get a little better about that, but it's year three.
It is.
He's pretty much gotten what he wanted. Each time, this is the first time he's really faced adversity that he's going to have to adjust what he wants to do. It'll get there. It'll get there or it won't. Yeah. And either way, the world will not end.
No, it won't. No matter what. And that's not what I meant. Mm-hmm. I just definitely...
Well, no, I'm not so much speaking to you. Yeah.
Gotcha. But, I mean, overall, though, I just like wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And while it might not have, like, kept me entertained like it had in the past,
mm-hmm.
I'm still going to keep watching it.
Mm-hmm.
So, but, yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you have anything else that you want to add about the show?
No. And, I mean, I'm not saying that I think AEW is the best it's ever been or anything like that. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that I'm not going to get up in arms. I'm just going to watch what's in front of me and see what happens.
Yeah.
Am I excited for Full Gear? Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff on there I want to see. Even though I was like, I could have missed this episode, I'm still pumped for Full Gear.
Yeah. I'm sad that Ethan Page isn't going to get his match at Full Gear, though. He has to wait till Dynamite.
Oh, yeah, because you thought he was going
to. Yeah.
But, I mean, he's still getting featured.
Yeah. Yeah.
You just want Ethan Page to shine, which I think he deserves it. He is, like, the nicest wrestler I think that we've ever met.
Oh man, Danhausen gets. We met a lot of really nice wrestlers.
I know the Acclaim's really nice.
Yeah,
they're Gargano really friendly. Was nice. I know Gargano.
FTR was great.
Okay, maybe FTR was the nicest, but Heath though was also,
Heath was really nice too.
I think the nicest wrestlers we've met.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna take it back. I don't think it was Ethan Page.
Hmm.
This might be. People might be like, oh my god. Enzo and W. Morrissey.
Oh, yeah, they were really nice.
Enzo and W. Morrissey, they are the nicest people ever. Mm-hmm. Like, W. Morrissey, you wouldn't think he would be... Just look at him. He looks so intimidating.
Mm-hmm.
But, oh my gosh, I don't think I've fist bumped anybody as much in my life as I have him. But they're very friendly. And Enzo... I was high energy. I was like Enzo energy level when we met him.
Mm-hmm.
By the end of the night, though, after the indie show was over, I was so tired from how much energy I had when meeting them. Well, guys, I think that is it for our podcast. I hope that you enjoy it. Please, if you have any questions, if you want to discuss something, shit, if you don't even agree with something we said, mm-hmm. we will not get offended if you want to discuss it with us. Please engage with us, discuss with us.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure that you follow our Instagram page at Figures and Flippy S. And make sure you check out our website. You can check out all of our past podcast videos on there. Sometimes we'll post stuff on there also. So just check it out.
Mm-hmm.
And our website is figuresandflippys.wordpress.com.
Mm-hmm. Some of the stuff you can expect to find on the website. We'll post the pictures of the wrestlers that we've gotten to meet. We'll post pictures from toy hunts that we've gone on, which I know we're Figures and Flippy shit. We have yet to discuss figures. We will get there.
Okay, so here's the thing. We went to Toyhio when it last happened in October.
Mm-hmm.
So we haven't, and that was, so we had our last toy hunt in October, but the holidays are now here, mm-hmm. so we can't be selfish. We can't spend the money on us. We have mm-hmm. to spend it on our loved ones instead. So mm-hmm. after the holidays, mm-hmm. we'll get more into it. Well, actually, no, because we have the Chris Jericho cruise mm-hmm. in February. So I guess maybe after February.
Well, Toyhio is literally the weekend after that.
Yes.
And we'll be going to Toyhio because Ethan Page is doing a vlog takeover
there. Which is awesome.
Yes. Please bring Ethan Page. Please bring Nyla Rose. Please bring Nyla Rose.
Well, we're going to meet her on the cruise anyway.
I don't care. Bring Nyla Rose anyway.
Charlie something. No, that's not something. It's just Charlie, right?
Charlie, is it Romero?
I keep...
I think you got him mixed up with Jake something, who's a wrestler.
I just realized I combined Charlie and Jake something. But Charlie from his stuff also. Yeah,
bring
also,
Charlie.
Who is, I think, dating Jamie Hayter. So let's just tie that all back together.
Okay. Bring Jamie Hayter, too.
Heck yeah. Bring the bunny.
Yeah, bring the bunny.
Alex Aberhante. He's always nice. Danhausen again.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure...
Bring Brody King.
Yeah, because Ethan Page is going to listen to this. So, you know, just make sure you bring these people.
He's probably, if he was, he'd be like, already bringing them. I'm not bringing them. I'm already bringing them. You tried to get him to tell you, and he wouldn't give you anything.
He gave me nothing.
Yeah.
He was like, I don't know. You got to come back. I even had, like, my finger wagging it, trying to intimidate him.
You're trying to try to intimidate 6 foot, whatever he is, Ethan Page.
I was going to say, Ethan Page is very tall in real life.
Mm-hmm.
Very tall, mm-hmm. very muscular.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, make sure you check out our podcast. You can also find us on Spotify, Apple Music, Google Music, anywhere you watch your podcast. We are there, and mm-hmm. spread the word about us. Get our name out to people. We want to make some new friends.
Yes, and tune back in on Saturday.
Yes,
where we will be doing SmackDown and Rampage.
Yes.
And then I am going to, me and Susan have a prediction title that we put up for every pay-per-view. So it'll be time for me to defend my title for Full Gear. So maybe I can talk Susan into cutting an afternoon podcast where we put our predictions on, just to kind of give you guys an idea of what Susan's losing card looks like.
I'm probably will you lose. I'm terrible at predicting,
says the person that won the title first.
Thanks to,
I believe, Death Before Dishonor, I think, was where you won it.
Probably.
Yeah.
But I'm going to get my title back. But yes, so I hope you all enjoyed, and we will definitely talk to you later.